in the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
The title of the message, there is more to see in the Gideon story. Are there more cuts to be made in the Gideon ranks? I know not. That's not my department. That's God's department. But I do know that there's more in the Gideon story to see. The Bible tells us that in the latter days of a prophecy of victory that would be along the lines of the story of Gideon. We have that promise given to us in two places. I'll briefly go there. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 26. It says, we read, "And the Lord of hosts will arouse a scourge against him like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And his staff will be over the sea, and he will lift it up the way he did in Egypt." Of course, the slaughter of Midian was the story of Gideon. We have another testament to that, a witness, if you will, that in the latter days it's been prophesied that there's going to be a deliverance, just like in the days of Gideon. It's found in Psalms 83, a very prophetic psalm as they came in to take a land that didn't belong to them. The psalmist said this in Psalms 83:9, "Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera and Jabin, at the torrent of Kishon." Hallelujah. The story of Gideon is found in Judges chapter 6 and 7. And in simple summary, it is this. It's a story of a land that is being overrun and taken over. It's a war story. And that's what you do in war. You take land that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the enemy. However, in this story, it was a very unique invasion of the land. Now, I encourage many of you are coming to this website, we know, that are new to these things. And many of you, this is not new, but there are new things for you to see in the Gideon story. But I encourage all of you to read Judges 6 and 7 because we are living in it and we are going to relive it. It's a prophecy there in Scripture that directs us to Judges 6 and 7. And in that story, that war story, that there is a unique takeover, invasion, as in immigration into the land, as in economically taking over the land, economic takeover as in socialism. Socialism with the commie motto, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs, or simply put, you make, we take. And that's the takeover. And the land that God had given to his children Israel, it was a very unique land because that was the land that God said, I give this to my children. But they were so godless and so lacking of reverence and fear of God Almighty, they said, we're coming to take the land that you gave to your children. It was a prophetic land. And I want you to know this. Such is the land of America today and Canada, the North American continent. As I'm going to bring out in a message in Branson next week, I had a conversation this week with a man who was a Christian, or at least, I guess, a believer, let's put it that way. Defeated he was, and all he could see is hopelessness. Things will not get any better. In fact, he told me it's going to get worse, and then the tribulation. And he made this statement. He says, I don't see America in the Bible. Then it occurred to me why this preacher and this church and this ministry has been persecuted and slandered and slandered, and how Satan has come at me to try to put me on the defense because we have put out a truth that can absolutely destroy them. This land is not only our land, it's his land, and he made it our land. It is in Bible prophecy. And when you understand that, suddenly there's a thing that begins to come into your life called hope. He was hopeless because he didn't see that there was any prophecy about our land. Well, it looked pretty hopeless about the time Gideon came on the scene. The story of Gideon is a story of a small elite number going on the offense and staying on the offense. You don't win a war by being on the defense, and Satan knows that. We've been defending the gospel, defending the Constitution, defending gun rights, defending. But the Gideon story is about an elite group of Gideon guerrillas that go on the offense. And as I've said from this pulpit, a lot of people, they want to be nice, good little Christians, and they don't want to be offensive. You can't go on the offense without being offensive to somebody, particularly the enemy. Amen? And when they have control of the media, what an honor to have them slander you. And what an honor to have them send in their little sneaky snakes that try to divide the ranks. Amen? If we need another cut in the ranks, so be it, but we're going forward. And I got news for you. It looks like we're going to have one of the biggest gatherings in Branson we've ever had before. Hallelujah. How about that, huh? Yeah, stay on the offense. And that's what the story of Gideon is about. They go on the offense to take the land back. Their land back. The land that was given to them and their forefathers. Them, the true children of Israel. So I want to give a brief review of some of the earlier steps that took place. And these are points that some of them have been made in past sermons called Ask Gideon. But step number one that I want us to see is the cycle. And these steps, try to remember them. But the cycle is this. The cycle is faithful, prosperity, forgetful, and ungrateful, and conquest. We see that in Judges chapter 6, verse 1. It says, then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. So what happened was there was a change in the national anthem. I got a song that I want you to hear because I heard it when I was a teenager. And now, as I'm studying the power of music, I'm reading a book right now called The Power of Music. It's a tremendous book. I now see what they did to the children, the baby boomers of my generation back in the 60s with their music. And I remember this song well. Now, it's history, and many of you have never heard the song. But it became our new national anthem. And it went like this. Mm-hmm. See how I got into it? I just realized I'm not quite as limber as I was back then. Because I was able to get down about that low. I'm serious. I figured out how they did it. As they were teaching us to be heathens, you got down on your ankles and you used your ankles to crawl through underneath that bar. But that was the song out there, training the baby boomers, who was meant, they were meant to be high above the alien, but the alien was coming in with the music power and saying, "Hello, can you go?" And I never dreamed then I'd see the nation now go this low. We went low because the national anthem was changed to the limbo. And we just bent and went down. We went down so low that now Israel has Midian over them. And Judges chapter 6, verse 6 says this, how low could they go? So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. And that's how far down they went, to the point, and I tell you what, when you get an Israelite down so low, he cries out to the Lord, he's down. You know where, how far down he is? His wallet is rubbing the ground, empty. And the Lord knows the best way to his heart is right through his pocketbook. And we're getting there, amen? But they went that low, and so low they cried out to God. Now it worked. Well, if it worked then, would it work now? Oh, listen to you. You can't even give me a nod. If it worked then, would it work now? Then let's cry out, Lord, save me. Say it right now. Lord, save us. Save us, Lord. Say it again. Lord, raise your hand and say it. Because if you won't do it now, he'll see to it that you will. It don't take a whole lot either. I believe 2 Chronicles 7:14 doesn't require 100%. What percentage there is, I don't know, that is required. I think we got enough, and we got people starting to cry out, including the Gideon group. Now, the next step, what happens when they cry out? The third step is when they cry out, God sends a prophet that preaches the identity and history. And it says in Judges 6, 7, now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. I think that's enough. Let's go ahead. Let's read that. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you live, but you rascals have not obeyed me. That's a paraphrase. They didn't obey. Now the message was, first of all, identity. They had lost their identity. And that loss of identity I saw in the 60s. Because my generation at that time were asking a question. A question they shouldn't have had to ask, but the pulpits had already been taken over by the enemy. And you know what the question was in the 60s? You know, Paul, remember? Who am I? Do you remember that question? Do you remember it, Margie? Yeah, the baby boomers had a question. They were saying, who am I? I thought it was kind of a stupid question. You know, I knew who I was, or I thought I did. But it was there. They had lost their identity, and so it was back there in Judges chapter 6. They literally had forgotten who they were, that who their God was, that they had been brought out of Egypt, put there, and he was telling them his story. History is God's story, his story. Don't get your history from the History Channel. They pervert it. They know that if they can change the past, they can change the future. But we won't get off on that. He gave them the true history, and he gave them their true identity. That was the step, and that was step number three. Then step number four was after that, the supernatural comes into play. First, in the way of an angel. Let that sink into the sheep brains a little bit. The supernatural came into play. I want to say this as a side note. These tea parties that are going on out there are an absolute farce. How many heard about the tea parties? Yeah, the tea parties. Oh, the Patriots are coming up. And don't they have tea bags or something at these tea parties? It's like the Boston Tea Party. I want to tell you something. The conquest that took place in this country took place in another realm, and you're not going to get out of this conquest by staying in the physical realm. And the guy that got those things started, I think it goes back roots-wise to this Jew, Russo, who used to design women's lingerie, and then he comes out, and he's nothing but a Judas goat. He's dead now, thank God. But he's got these Judas goats leading these so-called patriots to slaughter. You think they're afraid of your investment in lead and your guns and your protests? They're just trying to figure out where you're at and who you are and how many's left. They did it in Russia and they're doing it now. And it's not in the physical realm. And some of you, it's going to make you mad to hear me say that. But I'm going to tell you something. In step number four, the supernatural came into play. Things started moving in the other realm and manifesting itself upon the earth, in this earthly realm. We read in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came. When you have an angel of the Lord come, that's in the supernatural. Notice the word then. Then what? That followed the identity message, that followed the crying out. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abzurite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. I want to tell you about old Gideon. He was smart enough not to run out and say, hey, where's the website? I want to put my name down as a protester here so they know that they got to get back to the Constitution just like these Tea Party boys would have you do. Old Gideon said, I ain't registering. He's a hiding over there by the winepress. He's no dummy. But a manifestation came. It was an angel. It's no accident that we're hearing more about angels today and demons than we've ever had before. In fact, the new big hit movie is Angels and Demons. It's no accident it comes after we already came out with DC Street Sorcery. We're talking now, this is real stuff. We're talking in a realm that's going on that we got to get a handle on. And the next step was, we've just finished step four, the supernatural comes. The next step is what I call the warrior mentality. Maybe I should say the rare remnant warrior mentality. Esau, Edom, and Sons of Hell Incorporated back in the 60s brought in their establishment and brought down the white man Jacob Israel establishment. Now, you people don't remember, but see, I've been in this fight a while. And I remember the SDS and the Students for a Democratic Society and these long-haired hippie freaks and so forth. And everybody was anti-establishment. Remember that, Margie? Remember that, Paul? They were against the establishment. I always wondered, well, why are they set against the establishment? I didn't know the Esau-Jacob story then. Those were Esau's children against Jacob's children. Jacob's children were established in their land, and they had an establishment, and it was the white man's establishment, and they were against it, and they were wanting to tear down the establishment, and tear down they did, and they did it with the establishment of peace. They use their peace-love children to do it. Long-haired enemy hippie freak speaking peace. Remember the peace sign? The peace sign was a chicken's foot. A bunch of chickens they were. No, they were buzzards is what they were. A bunch of dirty birds. And they would give you the peace sign. Peace, brother. Peace. Long-haired hippie freaks. I want to say something as a side note. I don't trust a man with long hair. Let that sink in a little bit. Even if he says he's taken a Nazarite vow, I don't trust a man with long hair. Go over to Deuteronomy 32:42, and you'll know why, because this prophecy says this. It's an end-time prophecy. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired leaders of the enemy. Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance on his adversaries and will atone for his land and his people. Well, his land was invaded by Esau, Edom's children, their people, tearing down the establishment. And they were peace children with their long hair. In fact, I'm on the subject of long hair and those stinking Jew beetle Edomite bastards that came into this country. They had long hair then that looks like short hair now. At that time, they were seen as long hairs. But their hair looks pretty short compared to what we got out there right now. And I see these kids with this bushy Jew look hair. And hair down there. And I watch my grandchildren sometimes. And sometimes, you know, it's hard. The hair grows fast. Hard to get them to the barber shop. And they start getting a fuzzy head. And I'll run my hand through his hair. I say, you need to get a haircut. I'll take him down to the barber shop. And last summer I did that with one of my grandboys. He didn't have real long hair. Very short, actually. But he had the hair cut. And, you know, I noticed something. When they get their hair cut, they get more testy. That's a fact. That's one of the reasons why in the military they shave off your hair. Because a man with that kind of hair shaving off, he'll have more energy, can handle that basic training better. How many knew that? Did you know that, Paul? You did, huh? Nobody can accuse you of long hair. No. Well, 1 Corinthians 11:14, I'll get back on course here in a minute, but it says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? But when these long-haired peace freaks, hippies, came in, there was nobody preaching against long hair from the church pulpits to speak of. Maybe there were some. There was in the church where I was converted at. And what has happened, though, back on this point, point five, the warrior mentality. What has happened is that Christians now want to be love children themselves. They want to be love children, love, joy, and peace, and children, not warriors. But not so with the Gideon group. The Gideon guerrilla group are warriors. I'm talking now not in the physical, but in the supernatural, in the spiritual, in their understanding of Scripture as Christian soldiers. It says in Judges 6, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant what? Warrior. You know, Pastor Peters, the reason you're not called of God, you don't have enough love. You need to be a love child. We are at a time where God is calling for Christian soldiers to have the faith of Gideon and to say, you know something? We're going to take this land back for our children. It's our land. It was given to us. We lost it in a war. And it's our duty to the king to fight for his kingdom. Amen? It's the warrior mentality. After the warrior mentality in this Gideon story comes what I call question time. Probably would be better to say that in this story of Gideon, it's question and answer time. And very seldom will you ever get an answer to something that you don't question. You get answers when you ask questions. That's how, as I watch children That's how they grow mentally and mature mentally, is they're asking questions. A lot of times it's why. And what causes this to work this way and that way? But that's how we grow as children in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many of them are so happy just to be stunted little children, flower children of peace and running around. And there was a little girl here this morning, and I looked at her and her flower dress, and she's so pretty. And I said, you know, you look like a walking flower garden. And she was proud of that. Now, I know that when she gets to be 20, she ain't going to wear a flower dress like that, but she sure looks pretty little. Little children, when they're young and they're flower children, it's beautiful, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you something. A bunch of peaceniks, when they ought to be warriors, I don't believe is beautiful in the eyes of God. There comes a time in our Christian walk that God says, grow up and become a man of God and become a woman of God and meet your responsibilities. Could I have just a squeaky amen? Thank you. I don't want a squeaky amen from the men, from the women. Amen. We got to understand that. The Judeo-Christian Baal priest about this time, by the way, ought to be getting a little bit nervous, because for a time period of 40 years, they've been telling us that if we bless the Antichrist Jews, God will bless us. We have had preached from pulpit after pulpit the same message that we must bless the Jew for God to bless us. Of course, there's been a case of mistaken identity, obviously, because no nation on the face of this earth has blessed this bastard sandbox state of the Antichrist Israelites, heavy emphasis on the lie, because it's a lie. They are not Israel. They are not the descendants of Judah of the Scriptures. No nation has blessed them more than this nation, and are we being blessed? No. And the Baal priests ought to be getting about nervous right about now, particularly when there's a voice or two out there talking about Christians becoming militant warriors. The lying spell is wearing off, and the Israelites in America are seeing not blessings but curses. The curses of Deuteronomy chapter 28, the curses of Leviticus chapter 26, and in Judges 6:13, we have a question. The question time. Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. And the question we ought to be asking, and it's going to be asked, is that, Lord, why are we being not blessed when we gave all this help and money, as the preachers told us to Israel for the last 40 years? They told us it was a nation born in a day, and that we'd be blessed if we blessed them. Why has all this happened to us? Glad you asked. I'll tell you right now. Because they lied to you. And they were on the other side. I want to tell you something. I'm figuring out, well, I got a sermon coming up there in Branson called Deception Detection. Now, no one's claimed that I'm the fastest learner on the block. But it's occurred to me, how do you preach the Word of God, so-called, for 50 years, and you can't figure out in the Word of God baptism for remission of sins, and then you claim you got the Holy Spirit? There's something wrong here. I'm figuring it out. And so we're starting to ask questions. How is it? Why is this happening to us, Lord? Well, you don't get answers until you start asking questions. The Gideon crowd. You know, it occurred to me something about Gideon. He was in the crowd that was hearing the prophet speak. Because he said, if you notice what he says, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about? He suddenly realized the story. He had obviously heard the preacher preaching, the prophet, and he was in the crowd there. And what you'll find in your Christian growth is that when you discover a new truth, it will always bring in new answers, new questions. And then you have to ask those questions and find the answers to them, and then you grow. That's how you grow, as we're told to do in 2 Peter 3:18, in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was in the crowd. He had learned from the prophet that preached identity and true history, but now he's sitting there on as he's hiding out from the Midianites asking the question, well, then why? Why does that? You'll find that's the way it works in your Christian growth. The questions. Why then has this happened to us? Oh, where are the miracles? This is particularly important. This question is a particularly important question for all those that want to remain in the Gideon ranks to ask. Why is it such an important question? Because anybody with any common sense can see it's going to take a miracle to get out of this one. It's going to take a miracle or two. And so if you know you need miracles, you better start asking, where are the miracles? Because when you ask, where are the miracles, the next question will be coming to your mind is, how do I get those miracles to come? And this is the step that we're in right now, step number six, the question or the question and answer time. And we are at a time that we know that it's going to take a miracle. And what is the answer to that question? What is the answer to that question? Lord, where are the miracles? You know, you're going to be glad you came to church today to hear Pastor Peters. Even though he's not the love child you wish he was. Because he's going to give you the answer as to where the miracles are. The miracles are just around, just up ahead. Isn't that exciting? Just around the corner in a realm called faith. That's where they're at. They're laying just ahead of us. You keep marching like the Gideon boys did. And you'll see them. And then we go to the strength. The strength. That is the strength to rise up and go on the offense. That's the next step. Go back to Judges 6:13 and 14. Read it again. Then Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Go in this your strength. What was the strength that Gideon had? Why did God say, go in this your strength? The this refers to something. And there are a lot of people that are out debating this a little bit, but I believe this is the answer as to what his strength was. It was in the statement he made. He said, but now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. He made that statement. The Lord abandoned us and he gave us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength. His strength was in that statement. You say, well, I don't see where there's any strength in that statement. If you come to Branson and hear the message I have planned for you concerning, this is just what we've already seen, But I come to see something in this Gideon story that I really plan to reveal in a greater way in Branson. I told you the miracles are just up ahead, around a bend in a realm called faith. But suddenly it's opening up to me as to how to get those miracles and new dimensions concerning faith that I've never seen before. And you'll see them if you come to Branson, either through the internet, radio, satellite, or be there in person. But I do see that the strength that he had came from the statement that he made. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Now, to you, that might not seem like strength, but there is something there. But I got to move on. You come out there to Branson, you'll get more of it. That's a dirty trick, Pastor Peters. That's like bait and switch. Well, you got to do what you got to do to get people to come hear you. Particularly when you got so many people saying, don't listen to that guy anymore. He's bad. Then comes step number 8, very important step. The tearing down of the Baal and stronghold. It's found in Judges 6:25. We read, now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner. Very important to understand that orderly manner. And take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of Asherah, which you shall cut down. So we have the pulling down or the cutting down of the Baal strongholds, is step number 8. Step number 9, then, comes the cuts. And you all know about the cuts. We read about the cuts in Judges 7 and Judges, I'm not going to go there, but Judges 7, 2, and 3 is the first cut. They go from what I see at 32,000 to 10. And then the second cut is in Judges 7, 4 through 8, but it's the weeding of the ranks, thinning it out. And God was cutting out the cowardly. This last week on the radio, I pointed out something that we need to understand. The category that God puts the cowardly into. Abominable murderers, idolaters, it's all there in Revelation. Now, the law, just going on a side note here, the law, and Gideon was following the law at this point, says if there's anybody in the ranks that is afraid, have them go home. The reason for that is because fear is contagious. The Lord knew that. And a lot of times we get the idea of saying, well, the Lord's not condemning anybody that's afraid. I didn't say that. I think his grace is sufficient to allow them to get their courage later. There's times in your life that you'll have more courage than at other times. You know what I'm saying? And so if you're at a time that you're weakened, you get out of there. But no, you need to repent because faith is the victory. And faith casts out fear, and if you got a lot of fear, you don't have the faith you should have, and you need to repent and ask for more of it and be strong and courageous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? In fact, I feel Spirit-led just right now to go to a scripture because this is still there in Scripture. I'll go to Hebrews chapter 10, and I believe the scripture is verse 39. Hebrews 10:39 tells you how God feels about the fearful that shrink back. It says, and I want to read it here in Scripture, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but are those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. That soul, think of it as life. You want to make it through here with your life, you're going to have faith. And fear cancels out faith. And so deal with it. But anyway, we have the cuts that took place and God was cutting out the fearful. And I want to say this, the careless. And I want to say this, the questionable. don't think there were not some there then that were treacherous turncoats and were in the ranks. And God just saw to it that they got out. We're living in exciting times. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that every time there was a cut, that the core group of Gideonites became stronger in spirit. That's what I believe. Now, the tenth step was dealing with doubt. We'll not go there because time is clicking down on us here. But in Judges chapter 6, you'll find that Gideon was just like you and I. He had to deal with his doubts. And that's where we have the story of the fleece being laid out. And he's saying, Lord, be patient with me here. I want to make sure I got this right. And that's the way you sum up that story found in Judges 6, 36 through 40. The next step is the use of, and this is an important step. We go to Judges 7, 16. And this step is very important. It is the use of unconventional weapons in this story. Don't rely on your AK-47. Rely on the unconventional weapons, and only the Gideon elite group are latching onto them. But don't get rid of the AK either, or the Mini. This is what it says. As he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all of them with torches inside the pitchers. So that was the unconventional weaponry that they were equipped with. Now, moving on rapidly, what I see, and all this we have seen before, I'm sure, but what I also see that there's more to see in this story that you need to see, and that is that there was a shift in spirit. In Judges chapter 6, verse 2, we see at the beginning of the war this temporary conquest. Here was the spirit that was in the land. It says, and we read, Judges 6, verse 2. And the power of Midian prevailed. The power of Midian. Now, the King James says the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. What we see, though, in the story is a shift. At the beginning of the story, everybody was afraid because Midian had the power. If we go over to Judges chapter 7, we see an entire shift in the spirit in the land. And that shift is taking place right now in our land. I believe that because there's a change going on in the spiritual realm. And it's starting to manifest in the physical. We read. It says, now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, arise and go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp. And you will hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened. Your hands will be strengthened, that you may go down against the camp. So he went down with Purah, his servant, down to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, remember the Amalekites really are good into magic, and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley, as numerous as the locusts, and their camel were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend, and he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian. It came to the tent, struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his friend answered and said, oh, man, this is nothing less than that sword of Gideon and the son of Joash, the man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. So we see that there's a shift in the land, a spirit change. Two things to see that brought about this shift. One, the power, the stronghold that they had over the children of Israel that allowed them to rule and dominate them with a heavy, harsh hand. It had been broken down in step number 8 when they tore down the Baals. That thing was radiating power, and that's why the D.C. street sorcery that we have sent out on the ministry is so very important. We're exposing their power. You have to see that there is some power there. The miracles that are involved on the other side, like it was in the days of Egypt, are being used upon us. The magic, I should put it that way. Magic, sorcery, spell casting. And you know, there are people that are criticizing this ministry for getting into that. What does that tell you? It tells you they're either deluded, caught up in the spell, or they're on the other side. But we're going on, and we're spreading out that D.C. street sorcery thing, because we're looking for those who, with faith, begin to pull down the veils with the pistol prayer and the rifle prayer. And the sacred pillars, we go to Deuteronomy 7:4, and I want you to know this is a promise of God. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 4, and we read, "For they will turn your sons away from following me," to do the limbo and get as low as you can go, that's my paraphrase, "to serve other gods," which they become masons as they grow up to get Esau, Edom's kingdom in, his establishment, "then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you," and he has been. We're getting destroyed as a people. "But thus you shall do to them. But thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and hew down their ashram and burn their graven images with fire." Sacred pillars? What are these sacred pillars? Take a good hard look at the Washington Monument built by the Masonics. You get an idea. Don't think that those things don't have power. They do. There is a reason God says, "I'm tearing them down." "Well, how am I supposed to do it, Lord?" I'll tell you, Pete, use some faith. And I say to you, there's still a Gideon group out there that are willing to faith it as they go on. Amen? They don't like those prayers, but I want you to know, we won't take time to go there, but in Micah chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, God has given us a promise. He's going to cut off the sorcery. He's going to cut off their carved images. He's going to pull down their bales, the works of their hand, and root out their ashram. And he will execute vengeance. These are the promises of God. But we've got to be able, we have got, if we go over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and this is a sermon coming up in Branson, we have got to be able to get God's promises. He has promised them. How do we get those promises? How do we obtain them? This is what it says in Hebrews about, and it has Gideon in the story, Hebrews 11, 32. "And what more shall we say, since we're running out of time? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises." We've got to obtain the promises. God has promised to cut down the bales, the carved images, and the sacred pillars in the ashram. How do we obtain those promises? Come to Branson and you're going to find out, because God's revealing to me right and left. Now, his faith in what he said is obvious. Well, I don't have enough time to cover it, but it's obvious in Judges 8, if you took time to read that part of the story, when he didn't get any aid from his countrymen, he said, "When I come back, I'm going to take care of you." He didn't say, "If I come back." There was no doubt in Gideon's mind. He's making it through. And don't you have any doubt either, because we walk in faith. We fight the good fight of faith. There's still more to be coming to you to see in this good story. You come to Branson, and you'll see the strength in the statement, "The Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And you'll see how Gideon obtained promises and how we can obtain them. And you'll see a realm and a dimension of faith that you've never seen before. And we need the victory. I can feel this kingdom coming. And we need to keep praying the pistol prayer and the rifle prayer. Wear the armor before you do. Lord, before we sing this song now, which is the rifle prayer, cover us with your armor. Put a protective hedge of fiery thorns about us, a shield of faith, and we enter the rock. And Lord, we sing the song, A Mighty Fortress or A Mighty Weapon. Would you sing it with us as we conclude this sermon? A Mighty Weapon. Stand. Gideon soldiers, sing her out.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ, bless those of you that are His. Bless you, keep you, may shine upon you and be gracious to you, and lift His countenance upon you and grant you peace in Jesus' name. See you next week.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peeble, LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains, in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on South Internet and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. You can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week and hopes you will too.
Fair, and she was happy, so young and so old.